All right, Steve Elzinga back here again. This is the coaching class. We are looking at sort of the heart and soul of what coaching really is. Number one, we looked at a couple sessions ago at trying to help a client figure out, make a decision about what area of their life that they want to change, where they want to make an action goal. And then last session, we looked at how do you make that goal a reality with a plan? You know, goals generally have many steps to them, and so you know how is the client going to actually reach that goal? What are the steps? What's the plan? And then finally, the role of the coach is to hold that person accountable for that plan, and that's really management. So I've entitled this Managing the Plan of Action. Remember, coaching is about getting your client to some form of action. Three things coaches do to accomplish this. I'm going to keep repeating this because in some ways it's simple. But I want to keep repeating it so that you get it. Because once you get it, once it's there inside of you, the coaching process will be relatively easy. Coaching is really simple, but it's hard to do. It's hard to not slip into counseling and giving advice and the more traditional ways of trying to help and lead someone. So that's why we have to keep going over the ground again and again and again and again. Three things coaches do to accomplish this: help client figure out what they want to do, the decision. Number two, help client figure out how to do what they want to do. That's the plan. And finally, that's what we're going to look at now: help the client do what they plan to do, and that's management. Management is the process of accountability as a plan is being carried out over time. We have a plan, but now we're actually trying to carry out this plan. It's the client's job to carry out the plan, but it's the coach's job to help the client manage that process. It's something that takes place over time. Goals are more of a process. It's not just doing something and now it's done. Usually there's a process in accomplishing this goal. Why do people need help in managing the plan that they decided to do? Okay, traditionally, most of our lives, we don't need someone to manage us to... I don't need someone to manage me in the morning to get dressed. Now, maybe some of you need that. Maybe you have a spouse that does that, finds the clothes, lays them out for you. But that's the kind of thing we usually do for little children. You know, children can't manage the process of figuring out what clothes go with what, and so often parents will lay it out. But as we get older, a lot of life does not have to be managed for us anymore. We just do it. We do it by habit. I get dressed by habit. I get my breakfast by habit. I don't need someone to drive me to work. I can drive myself. I've been over that road many, 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 many times. I don't need someone to manage my sermons because I've had to do it for 40 years. So the things that we're used to doing, we don't need some kind of management system. We just automatically do those. That's most of our life. But when it comes to new things, when it comes to new goals, when it comes to new plans, see, those aren't habits. Habits are automatic. And thank goodness we have habits, or we'd have to constantly work. Habits just happen. And so the more things we can turn into habits in our life, the easier it is. If it's exercise, eating right, or whatever it is, being kind to your spouse, maybe you have a habit of giving a kiss goodbye when you leave for work. All those things make life a lot easier. You don't have to rethink them. You don't have to get all motivated. Habits just happen. But whenever something is new, you have to put in that extra effort because habits aren't going to carry you through. So the client comes up with a goal, comes up with a plan of how to achieve that goal, and now a client generally needs help, some support in actually carrying on and actually following through with the plan that they've made. So why do people need this help? Number one, people lack endurance. There's the story in Nehemiah where Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem and the walls of Jerusalem have been knocked down and obliterated. It's been 70 years. They come back and they're trying to rebuild the wall. And, you know, Nehemiah, you know, motivates the people. He gets money from the foreign king, and he's, you know, we're going to build this wall. And he gets the people all worked up and they go at it. But there's a line in Nehemiah where it says they built the wall until it got half its height. And then the problems. Then the neighboring people were threatening, and the people started looking at all the stones and all the work that had to be done, and they lost heart. And that's about what happens. You know, when you have a new project, you're all excited. You're going to clean your office. You're going to clean your desk. You're going to, you know, finally get things off your desktop of your computer and stick them into the folders the way you should have organized it long ago. You're finally going to do it. But you get about halfway and it's like, so you had the energy of the new. You know, I'm doing something. I'm making something happen. I'm finally taking control of my life. And you have all that energy in the beginning. But as you go at it, you know, you discover that things are hard. You discover that there's obstacles. There's things fighting against you succeeding. And you're discovering it's way harder than you thought. And not all of it is that much fun. And so people get, they just lack endurance. They can't get the thing finished. How many projects do you have in your life that are like half finished? And you just didn't complete them. So people need coaching in their life because they lack endurance. Number two, they lack focus. It is like we work really hard on something for a while, but then all of a sudden something else distracts us. You get up, you know, you're working on something and you get up and you go in the kitchen, you get yourself some tea and all of a sudden you start working on something else. It's like we can't focus on one thing. And so we need a coach to come alongside us to say, no, remember, this is what we're doing. Don't waste time with these other things. We need coaching because we often lack discipline. We just lack the discipline to do the things that we say we're going to do. We have a lot of intentions. A lot of people live by good intentions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to work on my marriage. I'm going to work on my parenting skills. I'm going to deal with my anger. I'm going to figure out what job I really would like. But we just never get to it. We don't have the discipline to do the things that we already know we want to do. Number four, we lack the support. Often when you tell people something that you're trying to do, people right away think of the 10 reasons why you're going to fail. In some ways, as human beings, we don't like other people succeeding because that makes us look bad. Oh, you're working and making things happen and I'm not. So I'm hoping you fail just like I fail. So a lot of times we just lack the support of people around us to say, yes, you can do it. Go. Number five, there's a lack of negative consequences. Okay, a lot of times, I mean, this sounds like a weird thing, but we're motivated by two things. I'll give the last one too. We lack positive reward. These are the two things that motivate us. It's a carrot and a stick. That's the traditional view of it, at least in English. The carrot is, you know, you're working hard and you want the carrot and it's a reward. It's something good. The stick is it's going to hit you. And we don't want that. And so we avoid things. And we do things because we don't want to get punished. We pay off, you know, if we buy something on credit, we keep making those payments because if we don't, someone will take our thing away. The car that we bought, they'll take it away. So we get punished. We're rewarded by pain and we're rewarded by joy and good things. And a lot of times we make goals and there's neither pain nor joy. There's no reward or punishment. Okay, so sometimes in order to motivate ourselves, we need to put in some things. You know, I'm going to lose weight and if I do, then this is my reward. And if I don't, this is my punishment. So we're talking about incentives, external incentives. Now, ideally, we'd always do things intrinsically. In other words, I'm doing this thing because I want to, because it's just the right thing to do. But a lot of times we need a little help, a little incentive. So sometimes when I'm working, you know, I'm working on, you know, writing a course or something, and, you know, I've got 3 hours of working on this. So if I stick with that, if I really do it for 3 hours, then I'm going to reward myself with a bowl of ice cream. Okay, you know, I know it's a made-up thing, but it's helping me do a hard thing, a thing that, you know, after an hour and a half, I don't want to do 3 hours. But I have this incentive. I made this deal with myself, so I'm going to carry it on. So people, you know, a coach can sort of come alongside and make some of that happen for a client. What kind of management is not a part of coaching? So again, I think I started this way back when we started this course, that sometimes to understand a thing, you have to look at its opposite. And so that's what we're going to do. What kind of management is not part of coaching management? Number one, controlling. Okay? The tendency of a manager is to control. You work for a company, and I have all these employees, and we're trying to make something happen, and employees want to just sit and do nothing. They don't want to work that hard. So as a manager, I'm trying to control them. I'm trying to get them to do the things that I want them to do in the way that I want them to do it. Coaching is not controlling. You don't say, you know, and this is how you can control subtly. Okay? As a coach, you can control by the way you ask questions. For example, you could say something like this. Don't you think you should... And then you fill in the blank. Don't you think you should research that more? Don't you think you should talk to that person? Don't you think you should spend more time on this goal that you said you were going to do? So what am I doing? I'm trying to control you with my question. See, you know, I'm evaluating here, and I think you're not doing the right thing, and I'm going to ask you a question that sort of pushes you in a certain direction. Because I want to control the process. I think I know what it will take for this thing to happen, and I'm trying to make you do that. That is not coaching. Wouldn't it be better if you... Okay? That's not really a question. That's really advice. Okay? It's in the form of a question. Remember, as a coach, you're always asking questions to get them to make the decision, not you. But sometimes you can ask questions that aren't really questions. Wouldn't it be better if you did it this way as opposed to that way? So it sounds like a question, but really I'm saying what you're doing is the wrong thing, and what I think is the right thing is what I think you should do if you want to succeed. See, now I'm teaching, now I'm leading, and that's not coaching. In my experience, see, and then I tell some story about something that happened to me. You know, I've been through this whole thing. I had that same goal that you have, and this is what I did. I first did it this way and it didn't work, and then I did it this way and it did work. So learn from my experience. Okay, that's mentoring. Okay, that's not coaching. Coaching is not telling your experiences and all the things that you've learned. It's trying to help the client figure out their experiences and what they've learned from their experiences. And if they haven't had enough experiences, you're just helping them have experiences so that they can learn from their own experiences, not yours. What kind of management is not part of coaching? Guilting and shaming. Okay? A lot of times parents use this, and so this might be a new approach that you take as a parent. Parents try to motivate their children by shaming them. That's not the way to go. Do you think that, you know, after everything I've given you, and now you have cleaned your room or you've done some work around the house, and you did it really sloppy. I mean, if I did that kind of thing at work, I would never get paid to pay for all your food. And so this is how you treat me? You see, that's shaming, that's guilty. I'm trying to make you feel guilty to motivate you to do something. Okay, that's not coaching. Here's an example of shaming and guilting. What is it going to take to get you to do what you said you would do? Okay, so we have this goal. Last week you said you were going to do this, and now we meet and I say, how did it go? And you say you didn't do it. Okay? And I'm frustrated as a coach because I feel like, you know, my value is dependent on whether you succeed or not. And how am I going to succeed if you don't do the thing that you're going to do? And so I'm trying to lay the guilt on you. What is it going to take to get you to do, to say what, you know? I'm making you feel bad. And I'm thinking, if I make you feel bad, then you're going to do what you said you're going to do, and then you're going to succeed. And if you succeed, it makes me look good. See, that's not coaching. How do you expect things to change in your life if you don't, you know? So it's, again, it's a coach communicating his or her frustration with the client's behavior. And sort of in a negative light. You should change your ways. So now I'm leading again. I'm teaching. I'm not coaching. How do you feel about wasting your time and mine as well? So it's, you know, someone's not doing what they said they were going to do. And I feel as a coach I'm wasting my time, and so I say it in the hopes that you will feel guilty and you'll start working hard. See, okay, that's not coaching. Coaching doesn't use shame and guilt to motivate. You know, I'm trying to help you find your motivation. I'm not trying to be your motivation. I'm trying to help you find your own motivation. And here's what's behind that. If you can find your own motivation, you'll really be motivated. If I try to impose some motivation on you, it will only work as long as I'm imposing, as long as I'm pushing and shoving. And that's not what we want. We want the person to figure it out themselves. What kind of management is not part of coaching? Pushing. Don't you think it would be better if you, and then I give a suggestion, in other words, your client is doing one thing, but you think they should do something else. And so I say that. Don't you think it would be better if you did this? Because then I'm pushing in a certain direction. The client's going this way, and I want them to go that way. You know, what kind of management is not part of coaching? Directing. You know, telling someone what to do. This is what I think you should do. So, you know, remember when you're looking at all the options of, you know, what do you want to fix in your life? What area? I think this is an important area. Okay, so now I'm directing you. I'm not letting the client figure out what area of life. You know, as I'm coaching this person, I'm getting to know them. I know where their struggling is. And then I ask the client, well, what do you want to work on? And he says he wants to work on his yard. When his marriage is a disaster. So as a human being, I want to say, you want to work on your yard? Don't you think you should be working on your marriage? That's where, you know, that's where the pain and suffering is coming in your life. So that's this. I keep saying that in some ways coaching is really easy. It's easy to understand what you're supposed to do, but it's hard to do. It's hard to do when you see someone who's in pain and suffering and hurting, and their solution is way out here. And you want to, you know, you can see it crystal clear. Look at, buddy, you got to work on your marriage, or none of these other things are going to matter. Okay, but then I'm directing. I'm the one in charge. And maybe the client will do what I want for a while, but then I will have to be in charge of his life forever because the client has never figured out for himself how to decide between doing the yard and fixing his marriage. He has to learn that himself, and you have to let him go through the pain of working on his yard instead of his marriage in order for him to finally figure out what it is. It's going to take some time, okay? You want to solve the problem. You're a smart person. That's why you got into this counseling or coaching thing. You want to help people. And, you know, you've been gifted with insight and you have all this experience and your life has been dramatically changed by something and you want to share all that with someone. See, then you should go into counseling. You should go into teaching. Coaching, you have to have way more patience. But the reward for your patience is greater. Because if you can, you know, let the client go through all the problems and make all the bad decisions and then experience the consequences of those bad decisions, eventually you're going to get someone who's self-reliant. You're going to get someone that actually can take charge of their life and do something, and eventually they won't need you. You've actually created a strong person. And this is for parenting as well. You can direct your children. That's the easiest thing to do. That's what parents want to do. Do this, don't do that. You know, here are the 10 steps for cleaning your room. Here are the 5 ways that you, and we list it all out. And we direct it because we want it done exactly how we want it done. But then the kid doesn't learn a thing. And then one day when he leaves your house and he goes and he tries to make his own life, it doesn't work because he's never learned how to think for himself. He's totally, absolutely dependent on you directing every step of the way, and he becomes unmotivated. He's just not motivated. Why? Because you're the motivation. You have stepped into the motivation slot. So you have to always hold back. You can't be the one directing. What kind of management is not a part of coaching, judging? It's hard to do too. Because you're going to see a client go and do all the wrong things. And you want to say, that's the wrong thing. How smart was that? What were you thinking? Which is the kind of things that parents say to their children all the time. What were you thinking? Okay? How? In other words, what we're, you know, what, as a parent, we're thinking, how stupid can you be? Are you going to keep doing these things that don't work? See, again, we're standing as the judge. We're the ones that know better, and now I'm talking to someone who doesn't know better, and that's what we're communicating. We're communicating that you don't know anything, and I know everything. Well, how motivated is a person who starts thinking, yeah, I guess maybe I don't know anything. I guess I can't figure out anything. I guess there's nothing good inside of me. I guess I'm dependent on everyone else around me telling me what to do and showing me what to do and doing it for me. So ultimately, you're not doing people a favor by taking control of their lives. But it's hard not to. Right? You're standing by and watching people take, you know, make mistakes, some of the mistakes that you've made, that you've been saved from, and you want to save them from all of that. Well, there's no saving people all of that. People need to experience bad decisions and the pain and hurt of some of these bad decisions. And you can be there with them, helping them and guiding them. And helping them figure it out. Help them think about the thing that they did that didn't work. Well, what do you think about that? Why do you think that didn't work? In a non-judgmental way. I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm just saying, what did you learn? You're the smart person. What did you learn? I believe that you can figure it out. I believe that you can fail and actually learn something from the failure and figure out something better. That's what I believe about you. And I don't believe I have to rescue you. I don't believe I have to save you. I don't believe that I have to point things out and I don't have to figure out things for you, because I think that you, eventually, you can figure it out yourself. And I'm here to help you do that. Okay? That's what coaching is. That's what the management part is. So the management is very important. You're holding someone accountable, but you have to do it in a non-judging, pushing, directing kind of way. Okay, so these three things we've looked at, you know, how to make a decision and what you want to do, how to make a plan, and then how to manage the plan. We're going to look at these things in way more greater detail over the next several sessions.